Alrighty, guys, welcome back to the Left of Straight Show Interviews, the premier podcast that shares the stories of our amazing LGBTQ community and, of course, fantastic straight allies, all from entertainment, foodies, books, music, and advocacy. I'm your host, as always, Scott Fullerton, and let's start talking.
Hi, I'm David.
And I'm Alan.
And we're the co-founders
of Fruit Ludes.
So the name Fruit Ludes came about because Alan and I were thinking about all of the things that inspired us as kids of a particular age. And we thought of, you know, obviously the cereal brands of our childhood, but then the idea that we could be two fruits that have really great loot was kind of like how the name came about. So spin that around however way you want to, but that's how Fruit Ludes was born.
When people get a Fruit Loops box, they can really expect a lot of fun, whimsy, and humor built into our design. We really just wanted to capture a sense of nostalgia. Every sleeve design is unique in and of itself, so it truly is one of those like Easter egg cereal box moments that we want everyone to experience when they receive a gift from us.
So there are three easy ways for you to shop Fruit Loops. Number one, go online and shop our pre-picked, curated gift boxes. All you have to do is pick the theme and then add your message and send it on its way. Number two is build your own box. You pick your gifts, you pick your gift wrap, and then you add your own personalized message to the box, and then we send it on its way. And the third easiest way to shop Fruit Loops is just go on and shop for yourself. So by all means, go online, shop for all the really cool things that we have. There's a lot of great gifts on there for everyone and for you.
Hey everyone, my friend Matt Hayes is my special guest today in studio. I can't wait to talk about the remarkable year he's had. Matt's one of my favorite people in the entertainment industry, known for his versatility as an actor, writer, producer. He's also one of the nicest guys in Hollywood you ever want to meet. His journey in the arts has been marked by groundbreaking contributions, particularly in representing and voicing LGBTQ plus narratives. And with work he's created like the Fagnostic podcast, his films Cognitive and Shaft, Matt's passion and dedication to his craft has made him a prominent and respected figure in the industry. I'm so honored to call him a friend, so we're going to talk to him right after we take a quick look. All right. There we go.
Hey, will you hold the door?
I recognize you. Could I take you out sometime?
What?
Take it easy.
No, yeah, you too.
Oh, God.
Are we...
It appears to be.
Should we...
I don't know. It's my first time.
Hey,
what are you doing?
That felt so real.
Decide if you want to finish this, if you want to tell this story.
Well, Matt Hayes, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you. This is my third time, I think.
It is your third time. I'm excited. We've done one phone interview. We've done one in-person interview in Palm Springs. And now we're doing video. You have run the gamut, my friend.
I know. I feel like it's the progression from like VHS to DVD to Blu-ray to streaming. And here we are. We're like,
there you go. Look out. Technology is our friend. Pretty soon we'll be beaming in from, I don't know where the hell we'll be at, but... I'm so excited to have you back. It's great to have you on video. Like I said, we had a great time in person last time. Like I said, I think we've talked all about your background before, from Alabama to cruise shipping to Dollywooding and all that along the way. But you have been hitting your stride lately, my friend. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. 2023 was, it started off and I didn't have anything on the books. I didn't know what was going to happen. It ended up just being the best year of my professional life. So I'm insanely grateful, and it's just allowed me to kind of create 2024 off to a good start too.
I bet. Well, I was just loved. I've always loved following your path, but I mean, so much going on this year is like, I couldn't believe all the great stuff you had going. We're going to go through all of it here. I mean, of course, we got to know each other. You're in the Del Shores circle of friends that I got to know through Del when I first started the podcast 8 years ago, but you are on your own, just doing so many great things now. And of course, we always have Del and Emerson in the background, which I love. And we'll talk about that first for Shafted. We just played the trailer on that amazing premise, so much fun. Then we're hitting the third act with Whammo, a little bit of a surprise there. I love that. Tell me the story behind the story. How'd that come to you?
So I wanted to do a short, and I wanted to do a short in one location because I thought, oh, this will be financially feasible. You know, it'll be easy to shoot, whatever. And it ended up being one of the hardest things I've ever done in shooting in the location we did. But also artistically speaking, so I wrote this little short rom-com just based on an interaction that I had at Target with a guy that was my gym crush. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to ask this guy out. I'm going to follow him to the elevator. I'm going to get us on the elevator and I'm going to ask him out. We're going to go out and get married, be all end all. And then we got to the elevator and I was like, but wait a minute, what if we get stuck? And he says, no. And then we're stuck on this elevator together. And then I just went home. So I didn't ask him out. So I got home and I just started writing about it. And I was like, I think this could be a cute little short. And then I raised the money for it. People, you know, were like, oh, this is endearing. This is adorable, whatever. And about 10 to 12 days out from shooting, it was honestly super close. I mean, I had already gotten union approvals. I had cast Alex, my scene partner. I had, you know, paid for locations. I had booked Del and Emerson to direct. We were ready to roll. Pre-production was done.
Wow.
And I had this like breakdown of like, I can't tell this story. I feel like, so I was telling my mentor, Jesslyn Gilsig, who I probably talked about with you as well. She was also in Cognitive, my first short. And she's also a very dear friend of mine. I shouldn't just refer to her as a mentor. She's so much more than that to me. But I told her that I can't tell this story. And she's like, why? And I said, because I feel like as someone who struggles with perpetual singlehood, that I am writing a movie and I'm creating a character and hiring someone to play him. And so I'm basically hiring someone to love me for a couple of days. And that felt really demeaning to myself. And so, and also lonely. And she's like, well, how do you tell that story? So I was like, I don't know. And so what we get in that third act reveal is how I tell the story. And so I'm able to do the short that I wrote that I really do love, but also do justice to my view of the world and how I'm operating in it. So I'm really proud of it. We finished it, and because you've seen it, so you know what that last third act is. And so we shot it at the end of the last day of shooting, and we did it. And we did one rehearsal and two takes because it's a one-er. It's about a 6 minute one-er, and one-er being, you know, one take shot.
Sure.
And we literally were like up against the clock and we finished it. And I look over to Emerson and I'm like, do we have it? And we're all like, I don't know, but we shot it. So we didn't know at that time if it was even going to work. And so I'm so thankful it did, but it just speaks to something that I've always said, which is, you can tell whatever story you want to, but it has to be based in truth. It has to. Otherwise, right, it's not going to resonate. And as a result, this has gotten into, I mean, I think we're at like 45 festivals now that we've screened in, like in over 10 countries. We've won, you know, up almost over 10 awards now, including Best Director, Best Actor, Best Short. So it's all over the world in places that are bonkers. We won, me and Alex, we won Best Acting Duo at the Dubai Film Festival, which is insane. Because it's illegal to be gay there.
Right.
And so it's just been, but it just speaks to, I think this transcends sexuality in that, you know, especially my generation and I shouldn't just put it as mine, but I mean, there's this kind of like construct around couplehood that is forced down our throats. And yes, I would like to be partnered one day, but you know, there's kind of a devaluation in people who are single, but I think single people are the strongest people I know. You know, we're able to afford financially to get through this life. We're able to operate psychologically and spiritually through this life. So I hope this movie speaks to that and just being able to, you know, be truthful to where you are in life.
It really did, and it was so well done, Matt. And I can't believe that actually 90% of it was, I mean, well, 100% of it's real, but I just, the whole first confrontation was actually a real confrontation, including the elevator and being afraid of being stuck on it. I mean, that's just absolutely bonkers to me.
So now, if you ever see me at Target, don't get on an elevator alone with me, because you never know what could happen.
Look out. Okay, we'll put a little warning down in the Chiron here. Yeah, I love exactly. Well, it's so cool. I mean, when I started the podcast, I felt like I was king of the web series, because getting gigs was so hard, and these amazing creative actors were having to write their own things for it. Now you've done a couple of things. You've written for yourself, starred in, have got such great accolades. Is that kind of in your mindset now? Are you writing more for yourself, or do you just keep writing it however it works out best when the finished product comes out?
You know, I write, the way that I write scripts is almost like a diary. So I think by default, I write for myself, but I also find a lot of joy in writing for other characters. You know, like even, you know, when Dell and Emerson make their cameos in Shafted, like I know those two people so well, those humans in my life, that I was able to write in ways that I think would be like what they spoke like, you know what I mean? So I love writing for other people. I just find that if I'm writing, it's probably going to be based in my eyesight, so of course it's going to involve me, you know.
Right. I love their cameo. I mean, Dell was Dell through and through. If you know Dell at all, that was him. Emerson, always a supporter, but he was in his big boy voice. he was talking real there. He wasn't in his other, but it was so much fun to see them in there. You talk about your co-star. I mean, I don't want to say Alex's last name wrong, so I'll let you pronounce his name, but man, amazing work by both of you.
Yeah, Alexander Pimentel is his name. He is a fabulous actor with a huge open heart, and just the loveliest scene partner to hold space for me to go through the psychosis of what my character went through. I could not have done this with anybody else, truthfully. He is just, I just think the world of him. He's and also off camera, he's just a gem. He's a decent, authentic, kind, focused, driven, talented person.
He was amazing. I thought he did a fantastic job in the acting. Definitely not bad to look at. Nice scene partner to be able to do those kind of scenes with. Talk about the casting. How long did it take to find Alex?
I have a friend who's also a great casting director. His name is Josh Robichet. And he actually found Alex. And the thing I love about Josh is that he advocates for actors who may not be known. And so, of course, he pitched me some guys that he thought would, you know, do a low budget short, you know, but in that we're going to not get a lot of, you know, big names that would be recognizable. And so he pitched me probably, you know, 20 guys, and we had callbacks for probably 6 or 7 of them. Alex actually could not make the callbacks in person. So we only met him via Zoom, me, Dell, and Emerson for callbacks. And we ended and we were like, it's him. I think it's him. And so we offered it to him, and he was game, thankfully. And even when I came to him and said, "Hi, I've completely rewritten the movie. Are you still willing to do this?" Because it was truthfully based on him. He is such at first glance a beautiful, physically attractive man, and then when you get to know him, he's just like, oh my gosh, he's just the best. Right. And so I was just in that breakdown that I mentioned earlier. It truthfully was inspired by casting him. I mean, it was like, I don't know that I could ever get this guy, you know. And I even say that in the reveal, that I've never gotten you. Like, I don't know how. I mean, so that's why I had a hard time with that story, because I was like, if I'm writing about this love story that I don't even know if it exists for me, like, that just seems dishonest, you know. So that's what I mean, in that I could not have done this without him.
Amazing. And you've done casting yourself, so I think you know what you're looking for, pretty much. And you know, guys, because you've done that in your past and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that helps a lot with it as well. But
I'm
just so proud of you for this. Go ahead. What was that?
I was just going to say, I've cast for Disney. I've cast for BET, for the Oprah Winfrey Network, other indies and shorts and features and Lifetime and all kinds of stuff. So I worked with a Tweaky Bird casting director and many other casting directors as well. So I do enjoy it. It's a fun part of the industry for me.
I love that. Yeah. Well, it's so good. It's deserving of all the awards. Like you said, you guys have got Best Acting Awards. You've got Best Directing Awards. Just some amazing film festivals. How long is it going to be in the festival circuit? You can try to get some release on it, at least locally, or what's the plan from here?
Yeah, so there's still several festivals we're waiting to hear on through the first quarter of this year. But I've already had people approach me about distributing it. So it'll land somewhere. I just don't know where yet. So we'll see.
Nice. Well, yeah. Congratulations, my friend. I loved it. I was so proud of you for it. And it was just fun. I mean, I love cognitive, but that was more, it was very serious and everything. Had a lot of more serious topics. This is a serious, real gay dilemma that we've all had of some, at least a piece of it, I think, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Cool. Well, let's talk about, we talked at the beginning of the show that you've had this remarkable year. The Shaft has, of course, been throughout the entire year as you go through all these festivals and learning more about it. Talk about, how'd you start off? I saw Carpool, kind of, they were talking about it earlier in the year. Did you film that earlier, or when did, talk to me about the Carpool.
We filmed that in 2021, and it's actually, I got into that because a girlfriend of mine from acting class, Mary Ann, she and her now husband, Steve, they are a filmmaking duo as well, and they're wildly talented. And Steve works for Panavision. And so he has access to a lot of camera equipment that he likes to just kind of futz around with. And so I had them over for dinner one night, and I was just, you know, cavilling about the In-N-Out drive-through line that I used to live by. I'm sure if you follow me on social media, you're very aware of my thoughts on the In-N-Out drive-through experience in Los Angeles. And so anyway, so they, as that was going on, they were like, oh my gosh, like this guy's unhinged, which I am a little bit. And so they kind of wrote this short around my venting around the people in the drive-through lane. So they wrote the short called Carpool. We ended up filming it in 2021 in the Angeles Mountains in Los Angeles, north of Los Angeles. And we filmed it on 35mm film. So it was my first time to shoot on real film. And you see it in the finished product. It is the most beautiful thing. I mean, Steve, his eye is just unreal. But we shot right up to dusk. And so the shots are just this beautiful golden hour. Like, I'm driving along the apex of this like insane mountain ridge where like there's cliffs on both sides, and the 35mm in the back seat behind me filming from behind as I'm driving, delivering this monologue. And it was just such a cool experience. It's so funny, the guys that are in it. It's very Weekend at Bernie's. So it was raucous. I loved it. It was so fun, and it's done really well too. It's played at a lot of huge festivals, and Steve's being recognized for his cinematography work as well, thankfully.
That's great. I love that. I mean, LA has such great vistas, but I mean, as much as people like going up in the canyons and everything, I love Angeles National Forest. I love Joshua Tree. Just some great shots, especially for film, you can get around those areas. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, then talk about, you have a project, I think it's coming out this summer, but I think you filmed it last year. This is a feature for you With a Whimper. Talk about that one.
Yeah, With a Whimper, we shot for 4 weeks back in June of 2023 with director Mariah Piter, and she's this incredibly talented director. I guess she's still kind of new, but she has some features that she's wrote and directed before. And it's an ensemble cast, but it truly was my first lead in a feature. And so the pressure was, and also was my, probably the biggest thing that I had done outside of the world that I have cultivated with the Del Shores world. And so there was a lot of different pressure to deliver in that. And, you know, I'm playing a very toxic, straight bro kind of guy. And that was, there's a, you know, as a gay man, there's pressure to be able to authentically deliver for that. We'll see if it worked when it comes out. But, you know, I feel good about it. It was so fun to shoot. We shot on location in Modjeska Canyon, which is in Orange County. And it is, it's almost like the Topanga of Orange County, Canyon here in LA. But it's, it was beautiful. It was just such a, so we all worked together, slept not sexually together, ate together, you know, so we were together for 3.5-4 weeks nonstop. And it was just the best experience, an incredible team. And it just was a, I mean, it was a true indie film in that, like, you know, we're sleeping on cots and couches and like, we're just getting the work done. And so I cannot wait to see this product. It is so out of what I ever thought I could do, in terms of the genre. Cause it's a kind of a cosmic thriller.
Right.
And so, you know, there's fight scenes, there's sex scenes, there's, I mean, it's incredible. I'm so excited.
Wow. That's going to be exciting. Yeah. It's going to be June of this year. They're expecting a release.
Yes. I'm hoping to see, they're supposed to be sending us a cut end of this month to see. And so I'm anxiously awaiting that, but yeah, it's supposed to be released in June, 2024. And so, you know, on some streaming platform, we don't know where it's going to land yet, but they, have got a distribution agent and everything like that. So.
That sounds amazing. Well, congratulations on that feature. Thanks. That's going to be so much fun. Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. I will be on the lookout for that. Well, and then in August, we're talking about plays again. The Red Suitcase, bringing you back to the Del Shores community, which is fantastic. Yeah. This is all because of Del's foundation. Yes. I talked to him, of course, last week with the author of this play, Jigs, as well. But you got to play two roles in this. Was it three?
Three.
Oh, my goodness. I
only
knew about two. I didn't know about the third. Well, tell me about what the Red Suitcase is about and this amazing experience. Best Supporting Actor, Broadway World LA. Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you to everybody that I hounded to vote for me. It was such a hassle. but it paid off, and I'm so thankful. So it's funny because I've known Del since I've been working with Del since 2016. This is the first time that I have been in a Del Shores project. And he, now granted, he didn't write this, he directed it, but even, and he's directed, you know, he directed Shafted with Emerson, and he was in Cognitive and helped me with that, obviously. But this is my first time to have to go in and audition for Del Shores. So it was a very full circle moment for me.
Right?
6 years, but I was also like, bitch, I put in the time, like, just hire me, you know what I mean? So anyway, so it was great. You know, the cast was unbelievable. Jigs is a fabulous writer, albeit because of his own trauma. But I'm so thankful that he's artistically releasing it to the world and hopefully finding healing through that. But it's just about, it's kind of a coming of age story for a young boy as he's, you know, navigating his, not just his sexuality, but his personality in a very heteronormative South, you know? And then Emerson helms the show. It is his show, basically. And he has to, he had to memorize a bazillion words and none of us ever leave stage, but he really does. It all came down to him. And I have so much respect for him as an artist. And it also made us better friends, which I'm so grateful for as well. Cause I think the world of Emerson. So me, Del, and Emerson all actually won our respective categories for the Broadway World Awards. So I won Best Supporting Actor, Emerson won Best Actor, and Del won Best Director. And so we're very proud of that. It also does good for the foundation. So I serve on the board of the Del Shores Foundation as well. I don't take credit for this, but they kind of position it that way. But I, Cognitive is what inspired the creation of the Del Shores Foundation. And we wanted to do that for other people. So they brought me onto the board as well. And so actually, Jig's other play that he wrote, Wounded, he's written many plays, but his other play, Wounded, is actually had its off-Broadway premiere last night in New York City at Soho Playhouse. So, and Del's directing that. Emerson is producing. Shaw Jones and Craig Taggart, are both in it. And it is one of the hardest pieces of theater you'll ever see. But the most rewarding as an audience to watch these two actors just dive into the deepest caverns of trauma that a human can have. It is so rich, and I cannot wait to hear how New York City receives it.
Oh, I think it's going to be great. I talked to all of them about it last week. Absolutely amazing cast. I didn't know Craig or Shaw before, and just speaking to him was such a joy. Jigs, I knew of. I audited a couple of Dell's writing classes, thanks to you. You're the one that recommended me to do that. And so I got to meet Jigs through that and kind of see some of his work through there. And absolutely amazing. I was so impressed with all of you. Like you said, Emerson, I remember when he was doing Buyer and Seller, the one-person play, and he was walking the streets of West Hollywood to learn all those lines because there is so much dialogue. He's amazing at that. So
he is.
Three characters, that's got to be kind of crazy in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, the writing, it all comes from the writing, no matter what you're doing, good or bad. Thankfully, this is a fabulous script that has a flow to it that allows you, in playing different characters, there's a natural organic flow that happens for those characters, the way that the show is written, and also the way that Del directed it, and also Blake McIver, staging it. So all those elements coming together, the writing, the directing, the staging, kind of support us being able to naturally go between these different characters. And also the cast itself, we're all having to deal with the struggle of like navigating these different roles. So we're all kind of empathetic to, you know, the process to get there. And I think it paid off.
Right.
And we got great reviews across the board from all the LA critics. It was a blast. I want to do it again so bad. Like I'm hoping it's going to be put up in another major market. And if so, I've already told them, like, I'll be there. I'll pay my own rent. I don't care. I just want to do it again.
I love it. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Blake. I heard that his staging and the videos he used on the Simpsons was like some amazing use of set design. So yeah, that's great. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, then we go on to your next project. I've talked about your musicality so much. I love when I give her to see the piano on social media, banging a little song or something. So I love you were able to kind of go back to music again. Runaway Home, stellar cast. Talk about this experience going to New York. I mean, what kind of this is a blessing right there.
Even just like going through the year with you, Scott, is just like, I'm almost emotional because it just is. I worked so hard to get to this point where things are just happening because I've shown how I operate in this industry. So people are like, oh, I have this thing. Matt will be great at this. You know, so it's just such a blessing. I'm so thankful that you're allowing me to relive what last year was for me. It's such a blessing. But yeah, Runaway Home was my first off-Broadway contract. So that in and of itself was just like, what? Because musical theater is what I studied in school. It's my first passion. Musical theater was also the foray into exploring sexuality for me, because it was where I was able to kind of tap into flamboyantly written characters growing up that I wasn't allowed to do while doing the church musical or doing, you know, just playing baseball. So musical theater will always be my first love. I'm not the greatest singer in the world. I'm not the greatest dancer. So it's not where I live. but when I get to do it, I'm so thankful. So Runaway Home was written by a guy I know named Darren J. Butler, who's from my hometown of Decatur, Alabama as well. He directed me in my very first play when I was 8 years old in Decatur, Alabama. And so he's gone on. He's a super successful children's book author, and he's written tons of other things as well. He's produced some reality TV shows. He's got a crazy resume. He's one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And he's an advocate for his inner circle. And so as a result, when he's been sending me this script for years to read and reread and listen to the new demo tracks, and just like, you know, oh, we're gonna go to New York and you're gonna do it. And I'm just like, okay, you know, whatever. Like, I'll believe it when the ink is dry, right? You know, we don't like to get our hopes up around here. So he ended up saying, like, here's the dates. You know, who's your agent? I got to, you know, get this contract signed. And I'm like, what? And so we went to New York. The cast was stupid. Melissa Gilbert from Little House on the Prairie, Michael Park, who originated the dad in Dear Evan Hansen, and he's worked, I mean, he's in Stranger Things. He's done so much shit. Abigail Breslin, you know, she's an Oscar nominee from Little Miss Sunshine. Olivia Hardy from Kimberly Akimbo. It was just an insane cast. And so even first day walking in, I mean, first of all, being flown to New York, being put up in New York and walking to a stage in New York City, I will never, even Scott, oh my gosh. So I was walking from my hotel to the theater. I'm just you know, beside myself. I'm like, I feel like Mary Tyler Moore, you know what I mean? And I'm walking, I'm just like, you know, trying to look like a New Yorker, even though like this smile and this, you know, gait says otherwise. And a bird poops on my shoulder. And of course, I'm wearing my favorite shirt. You know, everything's just, I'm ready to go. And it happens. And I was like, only in New York. You know what I mean? I was just like, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Thank you, bird, you know? And so I went to the bathroom of the theater and got it washed off. But just sitting down amongst that cast and being like, I'm one of you right now. Like, this doesn't compute in my head. And so I did a lot of inner work to like psychologically psych myself out to be working with them. But that's the thing, like, you know, I mean, I was one of them for those few weeks. So like, it was just, I don't know. It taught me a lot about confidence, about self-worth, about the validity of your singular art and your POV. Even like after, cause we went through most of my stuff on day two, which was pretty quick. And Michael Park came up to me afterwards and was like, you're good. And I was like, Michael Park just told me I'm good. I'm going to put that under my special skills on my resume. but it was such a gift. But it was one of those things where the true takeaway was, you are always planting seeds as a human, as an artist, whatever. Everything you do in life is a seed. And just by being a decent person and a hard worker, that is you watering the seed. And it could take 10 years. It could take 20 years. In this case, it took 30 years. But from the time that Darren directed me at 8 years old to being 38 years old and him being the reason that I got to do my first off-Broadway contract, it was just a lesson in, you're doing the right thing. Stay focused, stay planting seeds, and keep watering.
I absolutely love it. And just knowing you as I do, I love the faith component of it. I mean, you're very strong in your faith. And this has just got to be reaffirming in a lot of different ways, because the church has let us all down in a lot of ways. But when you have this affirmness in your faith, that's such a beautiful thing. So congratulations. That is, and you deserve, you've done the work, my friend. Congratulations.
Thank you. And just so everybody's clear, my faith is in a connectivity of energy, but not in the church Christian evangelical white nationalist tradition that we were all raised with.
Exactly. And then you always know that I find you handsome as hell, but that hubba hubba body is all of a sudden on full display in beautiful downtown Florida there. Rocky Horror Picture Show. One of my favorite things to see is the stage play. I mean, the movie's okay, but stage play is always so fun. I had a chance to talk to Garrett Clayton this past season while you were down there. He was doing it up in Rochester as Frankenfurter. Talk about playing Rocky in Titus, Florida, Titusville.
Oh my gosh. It was so, so fun. Also, it's funny because this is another seed planted. Stephen Herron, who is the artistic director of this theater, Titusville Playhouse, which is, if anybody out there is in Florida, in Central Florida, you have to see every show they do. They do the most phenomenal work. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe how many shows they do per season and how many shows they do stunningly well. It's insane. And I can't speak enough amazing things about them. Jordan Linkus also is full-time there, and he does all their costumes and their wigs, and he's in every show. And he is stupid talented. He is stupidly, offensively talented, like the most talented person I think I've ever worked with in my entire life.
I love you down to your bones, naked and afraid.
So we're going to try, our friend actually made this. So yay, gay people.
It's vodka soda.
It's vodka soda, different flavors. Look how cute this packaging is. Oh my God, the cans are so cute.
So cute.
Oh my God, watermelon. Oh my God. Oh shit. Cheers.
But anyway, so they, Stephen was in the show choir that was at Auburn University, which is where I went to school. And we were, you know, many years apart, but he has, you know, followed me on Instagram, and he literally reached out one day on Instagram, was like, hey, would you consider doing Rocky and Rocky Horror. And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And then afterwards, I was like, wait a minute. Rocky Horror was my very first professional theater job out of college. And I played Rocky. But, you know, 20 years or 15 years ago, it was a little easier to maintain the body back then right. and to feel comfortable running around naked on stage. And so this was, I trained really hard to make sure I looked my best. And even then, it was like, you know, you're singing at the top of your register, like wearing a gold thong. And it's like, there's just some insecurity that could happen because, like, you know, I'm very like aware of, you know, just my body as a whole. And like, I mean, I have no problem being naked on Instagram. I can control the lighting and the angles and everything with Instagram,
sure.
but I can't do that from stage. So I got to trust the lighting designers. And so I said yes. And then I panicked and then it was amazing. But I did ask them because, you know, we have midnight shows and I was like, can I wear a jockstrap? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, great. And so I was able to wear a gold jockstrap instead of the gold briefs, which I just felt, I don't know, jock straps make me feel a little hotter. So it was a blast.
Nice.
It was also funny because this is a pretty, you know, Trumpian area. And so like we have all these straight people coming to see a drag show basically, and they're loving it. And so it was also an eye opener for me to just not believe everything you hear on CNN or, you know, whatever the news media is, and to give people a chance because they can always shock you. And they did. So, but Titusville Playhouse is doing amazing work. If you're on the Space Coast, because that's where the space shuttles take off from as well, and I got to see one. It was really cool. That's where they all happen. So if you're in Central Florida, go right. see everything that Titusville Playhouse does.
I love that. I have a friend in L.A. from Titusville. And like you said, very conservative. She's transgender. So when she goes back home, she's had some good and bad there. So yeah, it's definitely a little conservative, but there's pockets. I mean, we have these big pendulums. I mean, unfortunately we're on the downside of a pendulum right now for a lot of our trans and BIPOC and things like that people, but hopefully we'll start swinging back the other way again.
Yep.
Well, congratulations. What a phenomenal year. And like I said, success fully deserved. I talked to you for a second off air. I mean, you're what I consider a gig actor, which means you're not on a long-running series, you're not on a film set for months at a time. So you all of a sudden have three things back-to-back. You have Red Suitcase, you have Runaway, you have Rocky Horror, month-to-month, three different plays or scripts you have to memorize. How do you do that? That's amazing to me.
I never had issues with memorization. I mean, the older I get, the more weed I smoke. There may be a little bit of a struggle. But no, I never had issues with learning lines. It's just, I mean, I think if you're pursuing being an actor, it's just a given that you have that ability. But for me, I mean, 2023 was the first year that I felt like I could say I'm an actor, because there's a lot of shame around saying that here in LA. It's like, oh, I'm an actor. Oh, cool. What restaurant do you work at? You know? And I'm really fortunate to have a day job that is very fulfilling. And I love my day job. So I don't have any shame about what I do, but it is, there was shame around still saying at this age, like, I'm an actor. Oh, what show are you on? I did that episode of Jane the Virgin, or I did that episode of 911, or, you know, How I Met Your Mother. Like, but it's not the same as saying, oh yeah, you can actually see me on Amazon Prime right now on that show. So, you know, God willing, that's going to happen soon. But when I'm either coaching actors or teaching classes, the thing that I always say is being an actor is not booking the job. Sure, that's the result. We want to book the job. We want to, you know, we want to pad the resume. Being an actor or being an artist, period, is finding a way to sustain your soul on a day-to-day basis that allows you to go out and receive this world. Because actors and artists operate in this world at a very high sensitivity level. And so we have to find ways to keep our soul and our spirit safe. Moving forward. And so that is one thing that I really try to do. Even when I'm having like 2023, I mean, I got a lot of people saying the same things that you are, like, oh my God, like that was just great. And I'm like, yes, it's been a blessing of a season. And 2024 may not bring me anything, but I still want to be able to say at the end of the day, I'm an actor, I'm an artist. And it's because I try to keep myself in check by knowing that like the way that I sustain myself as an artist is how I, you know, take care of my spirit and soul.
Right. I think you've been hitched to a star, my friend. I see it going only further and better from here. And one of the things I love about artists in general, and you guys in particular, is always improving that craft. If I remember, you guys did for how to do self-tapes during the when it was people doing that. I mean, you're always looking to improve and how to get better at your craft and how to help others be better at your craft. And I think that's a real true testament of an actor or someone that really not only works on themselves, but helps each other and really gives to the entire project. So good on all of you guys. That's the whole thing around Dell's World, I think, that I see from the outside.
It is. There's got to be an ecological aspect to what you do as a human, but especially as an artist. You know, my point of view in this world is what I'm going to write about, but I don't know your point of view. I don't know my neighbor's point of view. And I hope that the younger generation who's moving here and is about to experience the same decade of struggles that I did, I hope that I'm able to help, you know, help them navigate this world the way that people did for me.
Right. Well said. Well, after doing all these projects, what stands out in your mind is the most memorable of all of them? I mean, everyone has certain aspects that are absolutely out of this world, but what are you going to take with you that's going to push you through 24 here?
I think I'd have to say Everything Collectively, because every project that I did last year was so uniquely different and specific in terms of what it meant to me professionally and even personally. You know, my first lead in a feature, my first time to audition for and book Del Shores, my first off-Broadway contract, everything had such a special moment in last year's time that all of it collectively is what's driving me into this year.
I love that. Well, let's look at it from a different angle then.
Okay.
Which project maybe pushed you out of your comfort zone the most? Which one kind of really...
Again, all of them, because it was also a year where I realized that the way that I'm perceived in entertainment, at least, was so not... Like, I have been focusing so hard on positioning myself into the gay market, telling the gay story. And that's not what I got hired to do at all last year. I got hired to play a toxic straight bro. I got, you know, the three characters I played in Dell's, or two of the three characters I played in the play, in Jake's play, Red Suitcase, were these toxic, gross, straight guys. And then, you know, Rocky is just this, like, you know, man's man. And then, you know, I mean, Carpool, everything was so not what I've worked to define myself as. And so it was a moment of like, just listen to what people are seeing you as, Hayes. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question or not, but they all pushed me. And that's what I'm so grateful for, is that nothing was just a job. Everything was a challenge. And I hope it stays that way. I hope it stays that way.
I absolutely love that. All right. Well, let's talk about then. I mean, it's very hard as an actor to talk about future projects. We know definitely we look for the summer for the thriller to come out. Yeah. You're going to be promoting, I'm sure, the Shafted the whole time. Any projects you can talk about, or anything you're hoping to bring about, anything you're writing that you're hoping to bring into fruition here?
Yeah, the With a Whimper, I cannot say how excited I am about it, just because it is so outlandishly outside of what I thought my wheelhouse was. And also just knowing how hard we all worked, just to see it on screen and to know, like, every department in that movie, what they sacrificed to make that happen. And of course, I'm writing all the time. I'm really interested in an unscripted and documentary style writing right now. And so, excuse me, a lot of the things that I'm working on, and one of them I've gotten pretty far with, and I've met with a Roku exec about it, is an unscripted reality series. I'm really working on a lot. I'm trying to refine that, and I have the pitch deck that I'm constantly working on with that. Hoping to get that shopped around. That's the thing, is that, like, it could be that I go to Trader Joe's today and have a moment of like life experience and think, oh, I have to go home and write about that tonight. So what I tell you right now about things that are happening, which is not much really on paper, it could change by tonight. And that's the beauty. That's what keeps us waking up in this city. Every day it starts a new day of hope. And that is one thing that I think is the reason that we all keep waking up here, because LA is not the easiest or most glamorous city to live in. I mean, today we got our sunshine back, thankfully, but, you know, it's there's a million other places I would choose to live besides Los Angeles, usually. But, you know, every day is hope. And so I hope that projects are presented to me. I hope that art is inspired through me. And I hope that I get to keep telling stories.
Well said. Matt Hayes, you know I love you. I appreciate you being a friend more than I appreciate your work, but it's such a great time to talk about your work. You're doing so great, my friend. Thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's so good. You look fantastic, by the way. And I cannot wait to see you and hug your neck in person this summer.
Yes, I mean, by the time this airs, I'll make the announcement. It's not official yet, but we are going back to Palm Springs, and Matt will definitely be one of my very special guests while we're out there. So I'm looking forward to building that together. You have a fantastic website where they can kind of catch up on different projects you're doing and see pictures. Let them know that, and let them know they can find you on social media.
Yeah, I love the Instagram, as you know, Scott. So that's my Instagram handle is HayesOnIt, H-A-Y-E-S on it. And it's nobody ever understands it, so I always have to explain it. But it's basically like a Southern, it uses my last name Hayes, which is what I go by in a lot of my life. And it's a Southern way to say, like, he's on it. Hayes on it. Do you get it now? Do you get it? So
I got it.
Hayes on it. And then my website is matthayes.com, Matt with one T, Hayes, H-A-Y-E-S.com.
It's a lot of fun content. You get to see Matt in various stages of dress. You get to see Porter in all sorts of fun little poses. And you get a lot of fun on there. And occasionally you get serenaded with a song, which is what I absolutely love.
Yes, yes.
Matt Hayes, thanks so much for being on the Leftist Trade Show. I appreciate you immensely. We're going to have a special 5 questions with Matt next week. Be sure to look for that. I appreciate you guys tuning in every week to Leftist Trade Show interviews. And we will talk to you next time. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Left of Straight Show. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast distributor, and please give us a 5-star rating so more listeners can find us. You can follow us on social media, and be sure to check out our website, www.leftofstraightradio.com, for contests and other news and information. See you next week.